So Jonah chapter 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. And then, reading on, chapter 2, verse 1. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord, my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, 'Salvation comes from the Lord.' And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Well, Jonah is a great book. There is a great city, Nineveh. There is a great wind that blows up a great storm. There is a great fish. And ultimately, there is a great revival amongst the Assyrian people who lived in Nineveh. And then, of course, there is the great lesson, a great lesson that we presume Jonah learned. Or otherwise, why would this be in Scripture? Because if he goes away and leaves it and you know, doesn't learn the lesson, then it seems all in vain. Well, certainly not for the people of Nineveh, but for God's servant Jonah. But you know, it all begins with a great word. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. What an opening verse. Sometimes we read those verses so flippantly, you know, as if everybody is hearing what God's saying. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. God spoke to Jonah. Now, you know, let's keep this in, you know, in the wider context. Think of who God spoke to. Well, he spoke to Samuel, spoke to Moses, spoke to some real big giants of the faith. God spoke to Jonah. And here's a reminder that God is a communicating God. From the very beginning, you know how it begins in Genesis 1. God said, "Let there be light." It's not just that God made light. He said it. He spoke. And from him speaking, light came into being. Which is interesting when you follow on the path, the track of light in Scripture. Because Psalm 119, for example, says, "The unfolding of your words gives light. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." So the same God that spoke and light came into being brings light through his word when he speaks to us. The unfolding of your words gives light. And then hear the words of Jesus. Again, totally in line with what we've read. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He is the light of the world, the light in the world, and through what he says, we have light on our path. We have the written word and the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world amongst us. And by his Spirit, he illuminates the word to us. So we have light, the light of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at work through his word. We have a communicating God. But do we have a listening people? Because you can talk, and some of us do it for a job, it's a vocation to talk, but is it being heard? Are we hearing the word of the Lord? How amazing to have God's word and his light for our lives. I hope we appreciate and are making the most of it. It amazes me how God often just dovetails together our morning and evening services. I've been away on holiday for the best part of 10 days, prepared this over 2.5 weeks ago. I hope that doesn't mean it's stale this evening. But this morning's message again was, being a Bible-based believer, having a Bible-based life, the importance of the word, and that's something that clearly comes through in this opening verse in Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Not any old word. It didn't come from anybody else but the Lord. It was that important. And so it should have had priority in the way that Jonah responded, in the way that he lived. Now, we're not told how God spoke to Jonah. When you think of others, God spoke to Moses through the sign of the burning bush. God spoke through a voice to Samuel as that young boy growing up in the tabernacle courts. We're not told whether there was some big flash of lightning or just an audible voice or even a quiet impression upon the heart of Jonah. But God spoke to him. We don't know how, but why obviously becomes much clearer. There's a work to do. There's a message with instructions to be followed. Now, the thing just to remember with Jonah before we go any further is actually Jonah was a seasoned prophet, if I can put it that way. God had spoken before through Jonah to encourage Israel. So he was a bit of he wasn't a celebrity in the wrong sort of sense of that, but he had been used of God. And that perhaps explains why he was so reluctant to bring this blessing upon Israel's enemies there in Nineveh, the Assyrians. God had spoken to him before and he had passed on those words of encouragement to his own people. But now he has a confronting word for Nineveh. But of course, as the story unfolds, his reluctance becomes plain. And the reason for it, because he knows what God is like. And he knows that God will be merciful to them if they turn to God, if they turn from their evil ways. The message was given, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it. Go and preach. But Jonah ran and hid. Now, while we must paint the picture of Jonah and all the backdrop to it, let's never take it far from our own lives, our own situations. And ask the question, what is the Lord saying to us, to you personally? Are you ignoring it, running away from it? The word of the Lord is something very special because it's the Lord speaking. The word of the Lord is unchanging. The Bible tells us that. We see it here in Jonah, because the word of the Lord in chapter 3 verse 1 came to Jonah a second time. And guess what? The Lord had not changed his message. It was still the same instruction. The word of the Lord is unchanging. And we need to remember that in this 21st century, where everything else around seemingly, you know, that has had any sort of history and longevity is being thrown away and discarded these days. But not the word of God, because the word of God stands forever, says 1 Peter chapter 1. The word of the Lord stands forever. And so Jonah ignores it, rejects it, runs away from it, but it still stands. What the Lord has said still stands. And arguably, I guess if Jonah had not come to his senses, ultimately the Lord could have raised up somebody else to go and speak to Nineveh. But the Lord's word is unchanging. The Lord's word, of course, is to be obeyed. I do say some very obvious things. And we read on into chapter 3 this evening how Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord. But I mention it because there is the danger sometimes, particularly again in our 21st century intellectual age, that we can, you know, sort of run it through our intelligence and our logic and our understanding, and it gets no further. We have certain tests, and if it doesn't pass certain tests, then it's held off at a distance. James tells us in his letter, do not merely listen, but do what it says. Don't look into the word like looking into a mirror and then forget what you've seen, forget who you are. But do it. Take it. Take it on board and live it out. Do not merely listen. It's to be obeyed. And the wonderful thing in the big overview of this book is that the word of the Lord, when it is obeyed, transforms and changes even society. It's transformational. Because the Ninevites in chapter 3 go on and it says they believed God. And when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them destruction. The power is in the word and in the response in obedience to the word. And even for a pagan people like the Ninevites, there was hope found in the word, transforming power through the word. Bringing it to a passage you know very well, parable of the sower, and yes, harvest will be with us very shortly. Remember Jesus' words, others hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. The seed is the word, and the harvest from the word can be good, better, the best, greater, a greater and greater harvest, 100 times what was sown. When a life is transformed and changed, what a difference that life lived out can make. Even on a small scale, but sometimes on a big scale. Think of the conversion of Billy Graham. Think of the seed that was sown that night in that man's heart, and think of the harvest that then came because of that. Now again, we're not all Billy Grahams. We need more Billy Grahams. But even a seed in a believer's heart that then perhaps wins just a few people for Christ is still a harvest, isn't it? It's still transforming the world around them. And this is what the word of the Lord does, what the word of the Lord is all about. Now, when the Lord speaks to you and speaks to me, sometimes, often even, I would say, comes a word of comfort. Do you find that? You know what I'm talking about? Where you just had a quiet time and perhaps something, a promise has just jumped out at you and you just think, I just need to hold on to that. You know, you write it down or you underline it or you just keep reading it thinking, that's just wonderful. And it's a comfort. Or perhaps it's a help in a situation that you're going through. Something to guide you in how to deal with it and how not to deal with it. It can be as practical as that. But of course, the word that came to Jonah was of international significance. It was a word to fulfill God's purposes, to address the wickedness of sin. This was not some light-hearted thing that Jonah could just easily do. The burden and the weight of this word was heavy. It was the word of the Lord bringing new direction and hope for a people. It was the word of the Lord that ultimately had another purpose as well, to correct Jonah's attitude. And don't you find that sometimes with the word of God as well? Not only does it comfort you, not only does it inspire you perhaps to hope for what's ahead, but sometimes it jolly well puts us in line or knocks us down a peg or two to see things in the light of God's word and God's way. Hebrews 4 says, God's word is living and active. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So when God's word is proclaimed properly and openly and truthfully, these are the impacts that it can have. It does never returns void. God always works out his purposes. And so in looking at Jonah, we see that's how it's working through him. But as I say, I don't want you to take it far away from our own doorstep, our own hearts, and ask how is God's word impacting and affecting us. The word of the Lord, both the written word and the living word, have been given and must be received. We must receive Christ as Saviour and Lord. He's the living word. And then we must receive the word of God daily and feed upon it to be strong in our faith. So has the word of the Lord come to you? First of all, let's perhaps rewind and go back to verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Has it come to you? Jonah ran and hid. What is your response when the Lord speaks through his word to you? Well, I guess if it's a comforting word, you'll take it all day. If it's a rebuking word, I don't know, I might hold that at arm's length and try and look for something else. No, we have to embrace all that God says in his word. But what about if it's a word about mission, serving the Lord? What about that? What's our response to those challenging words? Well, the word came to Jonah. That's my first point, a great word. But my second point is a great mistake. Jonah ran away from the Lord. Let me just read that again. How ridiculous is this verse? Jonah ran away from the Lord. Where in the world was he hoping to go? Where could he go where the Lord was not? Where can I go from your spirit, Psalm 139 says? Where can I flee from your presence? Was the Lord not in Tarshish? Was he only there in Nineveh? You know, the Lord isn't some localized deity, is he? Thankfully, he is in Rochford, in the hearts of the believers here. But, you know, he's in Hockley too, I think. Yeah, definitely. Rayleigh. But he's not just in Essex. He's at work by his spirit in the world at large. Jonah makes a mistake. It's not possible, is it, to run away from the Lord? He will always be ahead of you, whichever way you take. Now, in one sense, this evening, you can take that as a comfort if, you know, the Lord is with us. But again, if we are not on course, then it will be a challenge. Because we cannot hide. There's nowhere to hide from him. Why did Jonah run away? Why the reluctance to take the message? Why the rebellion? Well, in Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, who relents from sending calamity. Jonah so wanted the Ninevites to get what was coming to them, and he didn't want to be the one that let them off the hook. He didn't want to be the one who was seen to be favoring the enemies of God's people. He ran away because he knew what God is like. Question: how did Jonah know what the Lord was like? Well, as I read that verse, you may have been thinking, I'm sure I've read that somewhere else in Scripture. And if you were thinking that, it's Exodus 34. The Lord revealed himself to Moses, saying that he was a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. Every Israelite knew that through the word of God. It shaped their life, their thinking. And there's again a reminder to us of the importance of shaping our lives and thinking through God's word. Jonah had learned and appreciated that the Lord was gracious and compassionate. Indeed, as when he was in the fish and he was in the water, he needed to know. He reminded himself that this is what God is like. But his problem, of course, was sharing what God was like with others, namely the enemies of God's people. Jonah would prefer to die than bring such blessing. He's nationally entrenched in his position on this matter. But how good is God? How gracious to bring him out of the fish, to call him again, to give him chapter 4 as well as a lesson, to say to him, look, I'll do it my way. You follow me and do it the way I ask you to do. But how about you and I this evening? How do we treat the word of God when it's not to our taste? When we don't see eye to eye with God's ways? Perhaps we don't run and hide, too sophisticated for that, but perhaps we just turn a deaf ear. We just shut down to what the Lord is trying to say to us. In recent weeks, we've looked at how as God's people, we are his ambassadors. We did it in Bible study just before we broke up in August. To be an ambassador is to represent a kingdom, to represent a people in a foreign land. If you're the ambassador for that country, you have your own culture, your own customs, and you're living in a foreign culture and foreign customs. And that's really how it is for us in Christ, isn't it? As believers, we're not of this world. We don't do things the way this world does. And we seek to try and promote the ways of our King and his kingdom, the ways of Christ. Having said that, if then there are things that are of the ways of Christ that we do not hold to and do not promote, we've got a problem. If we're at odds with our own country and its culture, we have no message, we have no job, we have no impact as ambassadors in the world. Sorry to mention the B word, but the Brexit shenanigans really highlight the problem. Many of the government didn't agree with what the people asked for and have been stalling ever since. Well, in the same way, spiritually speaking, believers, are we stalling on getting out the good news, doing what's asked of us for our world, taking out the message, serving the Lord? Are we doing a Jonah, running and hiding away? Or are we going forward in the work together? Now, Nineveh was a great city. I mentioned how there are so many great things in this book. in these chapters. Nineveh was a great city in size, but was also a city of great sin. What a verse this is. Its wickedness has come up before me. That's not to say the Lord, you know, needs masses of sin before he senses sin. He knows every heart and every sin. But how gracious, how good, again, to not intervene too early in this situation. But things have reached such a position, such a desperate state, that now something must be done. And again, does that not give us encouragement about God's timing in things? He sees, he knows, he has the answer. He sent his Son, who is the answer for our world and its problems. We've seen the great word and the great mistake. But God's word was given again to guide Jonah in what I've thirdly called a great task. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. That's the second instruction. How does Jonah come round to fulfilling the great task given to him? Well, of course, God has to get hold of Jonah first. And that's where the great wind, the great storm, the great fish, and the vomiting and everything else comes in. God gets hold of his servant through circumstances, through struggles, through difficulties. And he gets him to a place where he will pray. Now, I want to say more about this on another occasion. But the prayer life of Jonah is fascinating. When everybody else is running around panicking, he is asleep on the boat. And he has to be woken up by a pagan sailor and told to pray. Pray to your God. Do something. What's the matter with you? And sometimes it feels as though we nod off spiritually. And we need to be aroused, awakened to pray. God got hold of his servant through such trials, through such troubles, and got him to a place where he did pray, where basically he just opened his heart and poured out everything to the Lord. And that's why I read to you chapter 2. Because briefly, that prayer he prays is very revealing. And it might be a help to us as well in facing up to the task ahead of us in our world and our community at large. Firstly, Jonah focuses on the Lord's holiness in that prayer. Jonah remembers the Lord and his dwelling place, the holy temple. Twice he mentions that in those words in chapter 2. The Lord is holy. We must never forget how distinct, unique, above all others, he is. Above all others. His will is perfect. Without mistakes. He's pure and perfect in all he does. So, bottom line, who is Jonah to query God's purposes? Who are we to stand in his way? To remember the Lord is holy. And sadly, in some ways, church, we've lost a little bit of the greatness of God, the holiness, pure and perfection of God. And we need to come back to that, to remember again. That's how it's described. I remembered the Lord and his holy dwelling place. But then he goes on in his prayer to reveal that Joseph realizes his need of the Lord's grace in the task that he has to perform. The importance of grace. First of all, yes, holiness. We must remember who the Lord is, who it is we are serving. who it is we worship, who it is whose word is proclaimed to us. But having done that, we need the Lord's grace. How we need the Lord's grace. It speaks about how the other nations have worthless idols of no help whatsoever. And Jonah, within his prayer, makes the comment that only those with empty hands can receive the Lord's grace. If you're trusting anybody else, holding on to anything else, other than the grace of God, you're going to get pulled down by those things. It's only in holding to the Lord that he will be lifted up. Jonah had made plans, but he has them no longer. It's with empty hands he comes before the Lord. Only with the Lord's help can he survive. And so what a testimony he gives in chapter 2, verse 6. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. Yes, in the fish, the Lord took his life down towards the pit, but in his mercy and grace, brought him up from that place. Again, what is Jonah saying? I can't do this on my own. I can't do this without you. He needs the grace of God. And we all need the grace of God, individually, every moment of our lives. But particularly if we're seeking to reach others, reach out. There's always loads of strategies and plans and this pack of this and that and the other, and this church does it this way. But the bottom line is, you know, the grace of God, sharing the grace of God, you know, relying upon the Lord in what we do in sharing the good news. Thirdly, Jonah acknowledges salvation comes from the Lord. He cannot save Nineveh. You know, he would be foolish to attempt. We cannot save Rochford and beyond. It comes only as the Lord works. If the Lord has saved him, Jonah, then why can't he choose to save others? I ask the same question. Lord, if you've saved me, why can't you save people around me in this community? He declares. Jonah declares it. But I'm not sure even as he's praying at this time, he's struggling to believe it. But he does declare salvation comes from the Lord. I think belatedly in chapter 4 he comes to realize that as well. But Jonah commits himself as he prays to serving the Lord. What I have vowed, I will make good. And you can understand that, can't you? There he is thinking his life is over and suddenly he has a new life. A new day that he never thought possible. And so in enthusiasm he says, yes, what I've said I'll do, I'll go ahead and undo. He has a new desire to make the most of his days. And again, I think as believers, however long we've walked with the Lord, may every day be a new day of realizing that we are what we are saved from and what we are saved for, to serve and to make a difference in our community. And fifthly, Jonah finds his joy again in his sacrifice. He says, but I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. I remind those who were here this morning, Paul and Silas singing a song in a prison cell, a song of praise, and others heard it. Well, here Jonah, with a song of praise, says he'll sacrifice unto the Lord. Let me remind you, some of you personally I know can testify to this, if not all of us perhaps, running away from the Lord is a joyless experience. Where is joy found? Joy is found in the presence of the Lord. So by definition, if you seek to be away from the presence of the Lord, you will be in a joyless place. But there's joy in the Lord, joy in his presence, joy in serving Jesus as we sing, joy in the Lord's service. And so Jonah rediscovers some joy in the fish as he prays, as he cries out to the Lord. The task is great. Nineveh are still enemies. Will they believe his message? Will they kill him? He doesn't know. He hasn't got the end of the story like we have. But now he will face this because the Lord's there with him. The Lord has sent him, and he obeys the Lord in what the Lord asks of him. God's great word directs Jonah to perform and to carry out God's great task. Let's bring this right back here, 2019, Rochford Congregational Church. Go and make disciples is still the instructions, folks, with all that follows on there in Matthew 28. That's still the word of the Lord to the church, and always will be till the very last day when Christ returns. But if you want that breaking down even more, what about things like love your neighbour as yourself, love your enemy, pray for those who persecute you, etc. These are, again, still words of the Lord that are timeless for every generation of church. Or this one, Paul writing to Timothy, the Philippians even. Hold out the word of life to those who are perishing. These are standard texts, if you like. These are for everybody, for all time. There will be the words of the Lord that are specific and unique for you at a certain time. But these are like pillars that just stand there for good. God's great word directing us into God's great task. Don't make the great mistake of Jonah. Don't run from the Lord. Run to the Lord. Run to him. For he's the only way, the only one you can do the great task with and for. He's the only one who will enable us to fulfill that task. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. What place does God's word have in your life? Again, tying in with this morning's message, that is a word for us all to seriously take to heart. Does it have the priority over everything else? Is it your passion? Is it what drives you on? The word of the Lord coming to you through the written word by his Spirit. Remember, God's word is holy, pure, and true. Obey it and let it bring transformation to your life. That's how it works. In salvation, we're transformed. We're a new creation. In sanctification, there's an ongoing process in our lives, and it's all through his word. And as we hold the word out to others, it can transform their lives as well. I hope we still believe that. Because if we don't, we might as well all just go home. But God's word transformed and is transforming us. It can transform and change the world at large around us. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. May it come to you. And may it have that impact in your heart and life. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh Lord, we thank you for our time together this evening. We thank you for our fellowship with one another and our fellowship sweet with you through your word. Thank you that we have had this time to quieten our hearts and indeed sit at your feet. Lord, help us this week to walk with you, to do what you ask us to do, to go where you send us to go. And Lord, keep us from fear. Keep us from holding back. Help us to go forward, trusting and obeying. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your servant Jonah. Thank you for the honesty of this book. And Lord, We see it in our own hearts and lives so often. But Lord, thank you that there is, Lord, a hope for our lost world through the gospel. And we are the gospel bearers, the light bearers into the darkness. So help us this week, Lord, to shine for all we are worth, all we can, with word and in deed. Bless, Lord, we pray, your people. Keep them safe, Lord, from danger and harm, and keep them close to yourself. Again, bless those who are unable to be with us. May they shine too, even in darkness of troubled situations. May they shine through to your glory and praise. So bless and keep us. Make your face shine upon us. And grant us now and always to know your peace. Amen.